Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. It's great to be able to pause on this fine Saturday and open up God's Word and see what He has to say to us today. Well, before we do that, let's come to Him in a time of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for another day. We thank you for another chance to open up your Word. And we pray that as we turn to it, that you would bless us with yourself, that you would speak to us. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to open up your Bibles, turn to the letter of 1 John, and we find ourselves in chapter 4 today. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through to 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. I really need to get a less squeaky chair, don't I? It's getting a bit ridiculous. I don't know if you guys can pick it up, but that's okay. Well, John is sometimes being called the Apostle of Love. The Apostle of Love. And it's not just because he's a really lovely guy, though I'm sure he was, but because he very frequently, almost all the time, talks about love. It's in his epistles, it's in the gospel, and all the way through you get this idea of love coming out, and we hear of the love of God, and we hear of the love of Christ, and we hear of our love for one another. As Tyndale puts it, John singeth his old song again, and he's doing it here all over again. In fact, there's three times when John drives home this idea of reciprocal love for one another. This deep, profound need to love each other. And each time he emphasizes something a little bit different, and each time he goes a little bit deeper. And this time, he takes it all the way home. And what I mean by all the way home is he goes all the way through to the very root and foundation and starting point of love. In this section here, John, he takes up this theme and roots it at its very life source, which is God Himself. And so John here works to get us to love by going to the place where it really begins, which is God Himself. And he goes all the way to the very character and nature of God and to the very actions of God to show that it is absolutely essential that we have love for one another. And so firstly, he goes, as I said, to the character of God. Have a look at verse 7 and 8. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. You see, the root and foundation of love is God Himself, because God is love. Now, it's important when we start speaking about the attributes of God and the characteristics of God that we recognize that when John says God is love, he's not saying God is love and he's not other things. You know, like sometimes people want to they want to put one characteristic or one attribute of God against another one. And so you might have a discussion with a person, and you'll say, oh, God's wrath was poured out. And people say, oh, wait a second, God's not wrathful, because here in 1 John it says God is love. God was angry in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament he's a God of love. Well, God is a complete person. He's a complete being. And he doesn't stop being angry or wrathful and start being loving. He's always love. Love is what he is. So when he judges with love. He doesn't put his love aside and start judging. All of his characteristics and attributes are going at the same time. And so it's important that when we come to love, we recognize that our love is grounded in who God is, in the love of God, in his characteristics of love. And therefore what that means is, just like God doesn't set aside his love, we can't set aside love. Love is not something that we can say, oh, well, I'm going to be loving tomorrow. I'll grow in love later. Right now, I'm using another one of my characteristics. I'm working on being truthful like God is. But the lovers, we'll just leave that to the side because, you know, it's too hard work. No. We pursue it with all our zeal and energy. And we do it because we want to be like God. You see, that John's argument is that we know God, and we show that we know God by loving one another. So in the action of loving one another, we're showing that we're from God. Because if we're from God, we're going to be like God, aren't we? We're going to be like our Father in heaven by loving each other. But not only does he root it in the character of God, he roots it, what? In the action of God, doesn't he? Have a look at verse 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So John, firstly, he roots it in the character. Now he roots it in the actions of God. And he shows that God's actions are like the foundation. It's one of the foundations of love, is we look at what God has done. What has God done? God has loved us before we loved him. God has sent his Son. He has made him a propitiation. If you don't know what a propitiation is, it means to take away wrath, to take away judgment, not to make it disappear, but to literally take it upon yourself. So he sent his Son to take away the wrath that we were deserving. This is how he's loved us. This is how he's shown his love. And John's logic, of course, is if that's how God has loved you, if that's how God has loved you, how much more should you be loving like this as well? You've been lavished with this love upon yourself. You've received this type of love. So go and do likewise. Go and love one another. If God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, likewise, should we not be willing to love one another? As he puts it in verse 11, we've received, so let us love too. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I'm just going to open up this curtain because lighting's pretty bad. Hopefully that helps somewhat. You might be able to see me. God has loved us. We've received the love of God. We've received the love of God. So then also, let us go and love each other. The logic's pretty straightforward, isn't it? You can imagine doing this in your own family, saying to your children, kids, I've loved you. So please, love each other. But how much more so from God to us? God has lavished his love upon us, and so let us go out and do the same thing. But you know, one of the most incredible arguments in this whole thing comes in verse 12. Have a look at verse 12. It's kind of almost, it almost seems scandalous. Like if this wasn't in the Bible and someone just told you this, it would be scandalous to suggest this. No one has ever seen God. That's not scandalous. We get that part. No one's ever seen God, nor can they see God, because God's anger upon sin would cause you to become consumed. Only a perfect person could see God. So no one's ever seen God. If we love one another, now listen to this. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us, or his love is made perfect in us. Did you hear that? His love is made perfect in us, John Stott suggests. What does it mean for God's love to be made perfect in us? Now, obviously, we know it doesn't mean that God's love is imperfect until we love each other. But I think it's the same sense in which Paul says, I'm filling up the sufferings of Christ. And it's this idea that there is this, for Paul, it was the idea that there was this suffering that had to be achieved. And he was sharing in that suffering. And Christ's suffering through the church was being fulfilled in him. And so I think it's that type of a concept where John is saying, the love of God is not completed. It's not fulfilled. It's not perfected until the church of Jesus Christ expresses it to one another. Now that's a profound thought. You play an integral role in fulfilling and completing the love of God by loving each other. Because as you love each other, God's abiding presence means God's love is being exhibited. And something incredible about this is as you connect this to no one seeing God. No one seeing God. God abides in you. You love each other. Can you connect the dots? What that means is, in some mysterious sense, when you love one another, when you love one another, and God is abiding in you, people are seeing God. Now, they're not seeing God, but they're seeing the indwelling presence of God within you and experiencing his love. And so through your love for one another, they are seeing God. Isn't that a profound thought? This is the power of showing and following the command to love one another. This is no mere trinket. This is no mere quibble. This is no sort of little dot that you tack on the end of a sentence. This is the core of the Christian life. This is why Jesus says that they're going to know you're my disciples by your love for one another. Because in loving one another, the indwelling presence of God is being manifested amongst us. It's huge. It's the sort of thing that when people come into our church, they go, there's something profound here. There's something I've never tasted before. What is with these people? Why are they so different to the world? It's because of God in us. So, one thing this really drives home is the absolute necessity of having a proper foundation for love. Now, if all of this is true, what it means is, if you're loving for the wrong reason, you're not really loving. Do you know what I mean? If you love your wife, or if you love your husband, so you can get what you want, that's not real love, is it? No, that's called manipulation and using somebody. If you love your brother and sister out of the wrong motive, it's not real love. Real love is driven by the character and foundation and action of God. So what we need to do is lay hold of the reality of everything that God has done for us in Christ, and then work with all our might to love our brother and sister. Is it easy? No, not always. Is it possible? Well, what does Paul say? All things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. That's no mere pathetic fridge magnet text. It's a deep appreciation of what it means to follow Christ in this world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your incredible love for us. And we pray that as we go out into your world, that you would help us to love you and to love your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me again this afternoon. It's been great to spend some time together. Well, if you don't have a service to go to tomorrow, we're going to be live streaming our service because Auckland's back in lockdown again. Yay! Boo! We're back in lockdown again, which means, as you can see, there's a lectern behind me. That's our lectern from church. I'll be preaching from my study in the morning. If you want to tune in, we'll be here at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll have some music and stuff playing from 9:30 in the morning, and then through in the evening we'll have our normal evening service again. So come and check us out. Otherwise, have a blessed weekend, and I look forward to seeing you back here again Tuesday next week. God bless, and have a good night.